The 9 Years podcast is brought to you in association with Freddie Flaxman.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind.
And you're listening to BBC Radio 2, coming up, Crowded House and Annie Lennox. No, of course, this is the 9 Years podcast. Thank you very much for downloading the show this week. I am Nick Draper. I am joined, as always, by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. And I promise you that this week it is episode 309. All right? I got a little bit confused last week. Don't blame me. I'm getting old. I'm nearly 30. Stu, we don't have football to talk about this week in the sense of we have had no matches. The first team haven't, I don't think. The youth team didn't either. We'll probably talk about that one as we go on. So really, we're just going to do a sort of general catch-up, I think, about things, all things AFC Wimbledon. Talk about the transfer window, obviously, some new arrivals. We'll look ahead to the visit of Stockport on the weekend. We've got on that side of it, we've got Jackson 5. But, I mean, should we begin with our new signing?
Yeah, you can do. Joe, it's been really weird, isn't it? Because like, it feels like we had the World Cup break, didn't we? So the Premier League had their break, and that feels like we're having like a break now as well. So we're just bringing new players in and they're training. And to be fair, I haven't got a clue who's coming. The only one I can remember is Armani Little, because it's just the best name ever. Like, who can forget a bit of Italian posh suit stuff, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But we brought the Gambian lad in. Which we shouldn't really call him that, but that's how he was introduced, wasn't it? He's from the Gambia, which was interesting.
No, he was introduced from Gambia, whereas he should have been introduced as from the Gambia.
But anyway. Is it called the Gambia?
Yeah.
Because I looked on Wikipedia and it said the Gambia, but I thought it was just Gambia.
No, it's the Gambia.
See, do you know what? Every day's a school day, isn't it?
Not next Wednesday, but let's not get into that one.
That was a great... Do you know what? I did a great link there, didn't I?
You did. I was very impressed. But yes, no. Oh, I don't think I've ever done that in 309 episodes of the podcast. The typical footballer response. Yeah, no, you know. Saku Janna. We've signed him until the end of the season on loan from Cambridge United. He has joined, as you said there, Stu, Armani Little, Ali Alhamidi, and Sam Pearson as arriving this January transfer window. Obviously, we spoke last week and the week before about the departures of Nathan Young-Coombs, Paris Mogoma, Riley Towler, and we still expect and anticipate Ayoub Assal. But one thing you notice about these comings and goings is that there's not much of a difference in the average age of the squad, really, is there? We are shipping out young players or losing young players back to their parent clubs or elsewhere. In the case of Paris Mogoma, might come back to that one in a little while. But the ones we've brought in are all similar age, similar profile, similarly unproven at League Two level. Shouldn't affect that so much. It's just a case of trying to get players to blend in and get used to their teammates and things like that. So I don't know, excited is the wrong word. Happy, satisfied with this so far, this transfer window?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because the players coming in, if they come in to supplement the squad we had, then I would have gone, yeah, Joe, it's quite decent. But unfortunately, we've, five out, four in. And the five includes Jaskalainen and Gulkic, which is probably a bit unfair, but still left. Nick's looking at me as if, like, did he ever arrive? Yes, he did. He's come.
Do you know what? No, because do you remember at Sutton, we were behind the goal whilst they were warming up, and I think I turned to Matt Harwood, and I was just like, who's... The goal, who was what? Because it was Nick doing something with Ashley Bayes, and there was Nathan Broom taking shots at another goalkeeper. I was like, who's that? Like, obviously, it was Jaskalainen, but I didn't have a foggiest. I was like, oops. So, yeah.
I think he was released by then. I think it was a different goalkeeper.
Oh, well, I don't even know. I just assumed, having read it, that must have been Jaskalainen then.
Got a feeling it might have been Spike, you know, the and I call him Spike, I don't know what his surname is, but he's our current England. Under 16 goalkeeper.
Under 16? How young is he?
Under 17. Well, he's under 16. So he must be 15. No, he's not 15. You know, you can have your birthday, can't you, late, and then you can qualify for next year. But yeah, so we five out. But I think the interesting thing is, you're right, the average age is still, and I think I actually did look, and I think we're the fifth youngest team based on average age. Interestingly, in that Northampton are second, and I thought Northampton had a lot of experience, but that's confused me a little bit, which is interesting. Anyway, side a bit on that. But I think the good thing is that we've replaced them with attacking. So if you look at what we've lost, there's a lot of attacking flair, which sort of suggests what we were saying before, where Johnny Jackson hasn't been able to make attacking changes during games. And it looks like now he's given himself. I know, obviously, we've lost. Well, we believe we've lost Abassal when where he goes, Carl Hudlin. We've lost as well. And
I
they've been young kings.
forgot about
Forgot
Hudlin.
about him as well. How can you forget him? You can't miss him. But yeah, so we've lost them, but we will put attacking flair in and some wide players. So I think by the recruitment, you can sort of see where Johnny Jackson feels he needs the players. We bear in mind we've bought back Cosgrave, and we've also bought back Zach Robinson. So if you look at the attacking options now, that's really heavy. So I think it tells you where he thinks his squad's top heavy defensively. So yeah, excited. I'm not sure. Al Hammadi really does excite me. I think he's a great one. 20 years old, exactly the sort of striker we should be looking at getting. He's permanent. The loans, the thing is, the loans, we've been stung this window, haven't we? So I get a bit wary with loans coming in.
And loan's going out because I think Aaron Cosgrave has gone out on loan again, hasn't he? He's gone out to King's Lynn.
Oh yeah, he came in and went out again, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's like a
Whereas
train.
with
It's like a train station.
it's like Clapham Junction, but going in now and every other Thursday just stops working completely. The yeah, Cosgrave down to King's Lynn, but Zach Robinson also brought back in. But we thought he might go back out, but he looks like he will be staying because I guess I don't think maybe we weren't anticipating Nathan Young-Coombs being recalled. I don't know.
No, the recalls have stung us, haven't they? Let's be fair. But you know what? I've been, as I'm quite sad, I've been looking at. There's a website you can go on. It basically does all the ins and outs of each window. My cat is coming to attack me. Ins and outs of each window. And you know what? From what I noticed, and I don't know if I'm probably noticing it's more, but a lot of loans have gone back to their parent clubs in the window. A lot of
Okay.
clubs have done that. So I don't know whether it's just something with clubs, but because we haven't been stung that heavily. Especially not about Brentford. I don't know what we've done to upset Brentford, but they definitely, let's be fair, Brentford have been a bit naughty, really, haven't they?
You know, I think Brentford are annoyed because they've got this wonderful new stadium and they've got this very good squad that's got them into the Premier League and they're performing quite happily. But let's be honest with you, we're still a bigger club than Brentford and they don't like it. They look at us and they're saying they're in League Two and look at the attendances they're getting in League Two. We couldn't have dreamed of getting those higher attendances when we were in League Two. So I think that's what it is.
Put them on a par with Walsall, not because of where they play, but they basically plan a flyover, don't
I don't actually know where their new ground is situated.
they? Yeah, obviously we've done Walsall many times, haven't we? On the M6, is it? If you
Yeah.
go past it many times, but
M1, I think.
Brentford's on a similar. Brentford's on a flyover off Shepherd's Bush, obviously a posher flyover, but I put them on association with that really. But yeah, do you know what
They play in red
we
as
got?
well.
Yeah, and we've got to cover it. To recall the player, right, and then loan them out to them, it's just shithousery. That's a Harry Pell, isn't it? That's a Harry Pell of a shithousery. It's actually laughable. I laugh when I score. I wasn't even upset. I just laugh. I'm like, wow.
I laugh only because as well, we sense that the attitude of Magoma was perhaps not where it should have been when he was with us. And that was exemplified by some ridiculous YouTube video of him getting his hair cut for 5 minutes and then going out and playing football. And
Yeah.
I can't wait for him to do that when his first YouTube special for Milton Keynes. And he's going into
Yeah.
IKEA to get a coffee, and then
Yeah,
he's going to stroll into a hotel which has 20,000 empty seats, all to some ridiculous background backing track, and he's going to look ridiculous. And
the thing is,
yeah.
they miss us so much. I think they're trying their best to get relegated, aren't they? Because they just miss not playing us.
Did you see they lost to Shrewsbury in the week? Did you see the goal?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I actually that would support your theory that they want to get relegated.
Yeah, do you know what it reminded me of? I've said this to you before. I've watched them at youth level, where they play silly passes. They play expansive football, trying to move teams around. It reminded me of a team that's literally under 18s who we beat 4-1, I believe, this week actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the first half of the season, they always play risky football. In terms, I just don't understand what they're supposed to be doing, and people just say pass it, square pass, pass there, pass there, and eventually they get the idea of it. Well, it looked like obviously the goal was a breakdown from a square pass, and I was like, mate, it's just like looking at a youth team. But I think they want to get relegated. I think they miss us. I really do.
Yeah, they've got to, well, maybe so. I'm just without a hint of irony. You just said about them, they like to move teams around.
Yeah, that's what they do. I just don't get it. I really don't. But hey, look, if Brentford, I get, do you know what? In all seriousness, I understand why Brentford recalled the players, and we changed their style. They want their players to play in a passing game, moving players around, etc. and stuff like that. And we've obviously gone to long ball, so they don't, them players don't suit us anymore. So I get it in a way. We're playing a different way. The players we've signed are different players as well. So I get it. I just think if you're Brentford's loan manager, you literally must have been laughing your head off or thinking, oh, I wonder what they're going to say. Hey, who knows?
Who knows? Well, looking at our setup then, as you say, we've gone to a more direct game since October time, which has yielded a decent return points-wise for us. It looks to me like we're going to continue this. However, the signings we've mentioned all seem to be based on bringing a lot of pace to the team. It seems like we're going to set up very defensively and look to catch on the counter-attack. It seems a pretty standard Johnny Jackson way of going about things. Janna himself, we are told, very pacey and 23 years of age, but he needs to start adding some end product to his game, won't he? Because he's been at a few clubs. He's been at Newport, Bristol City, Cambridge, obviously, we've got him on loan from Cambridge, Shrewsbury Town. His most prolific time seems to have been at Torquay in the National League South. 16 goals in 28 games, but nothing close to that since he left there. So we'll want some end products, but his pace should at least be an asset. Same with Pearson. Their pace on the break should be what we're looking to do, I imagine. Getting up quickly to support maybe Josh up top.
Yeah, and if you look at it, it's really interesting. Him and Amari Little both moved from there. Well, both moved in the summer. Jenna moved for an undisclosed fee, and I think even Amari Little may have both moved into summer, went up a league, and for whatever reason haven't hit it off at that level with Forest Green and Cambridge. So it's interesting. They're signings that were summer signings, and they've already sent them out on loan, which is a weird one. It might be a case of, we've said before, League Two, League One, there's quite a bit of a gap there at the moment, isn't there? I think League One's quite strong, so I think it's more of a case that they just didn't do well at a level, and League Two, they might do well. So I'm not overly worried about where we loaned them from. From being a status thing, we're like, what, we're loaning from Forest Green and we're loaning from Cambridge. That's a little bit of us being a bit above our station. But, it's interesting where they moved in the summer, went up quite a few leagues, not quite made it come back down to League Two. So we might find that actually League Two, they're quality players.
You might also find that Little's come from Forest Green because he's not hit it off there because, he's got no energy because he can't eat meat. So he just gets about 20 minutes out of him and that's it, done. That's why they're struggling so much.
Did you see Duncan Ferguson's obviously signed there as manager?
Yeah, there's no fucking chance.
Did you see the picture of him with a vegan burger?
No chance.
Like, can you imagine a conversation like that he had with his agent? Duncan's going to have to do a vegan burger. I would love to have had that. I would love to have seen that conversation. He looked like, Duncan Ferguson's just not the sort of person you want to muck around with. Like, I was having a laugh saying, can you imagine him on the touchline with like Steve Evans? It would just kick off on the touchline. Like, fair play to Duncan Ferguson for going to Forest Green. One thing that's interesting is, when I'm looking around the leagues of who's done what, Forest Green have bought in about 8 players and a lot on undisclosed fees. So they've sacked them out. Did they sack the manager or did he leave? No, sacked the manager, didn't they?
He's gone, yeah.
Yeah, and bought Ferguson in. So Ferguson's actually bought in with, I think they've got like about 8 new players, obviously. So it's a really interesting one where, like we're saying, not necessarily who the manager is, that the football club buy the players, so we got ahead of football operations. It's obviously interesting there with Forest Green, so... Yeah, but I would love to be a fly on a wall of going, Duncan, you need to get a vegan burger. And by the way, you can't have your meat you've got to do this. He must have just told him to swear, but you know, in a Scouse accent, who's going to understand what he's saying? Well, sorry, not a Scouse. Is he a Scouse? He's a Scottish Scouse, isn't he?
He's Scottish. Go on, mate. Yeah. He's Scottish, but you know, just as difficult, to be honest with you. I'm not what I know. I'm not just very quickly. Forest Green bringing in a new manager, bringing in 8 new players. Obviously, they're looking to stay in League One. Quite what their end game is for a club of that size, I have no idea. I just assume it will end pretty much like Crawley is going to imminently, which is a return to non-league where they belong. Anyway, yeah. Moving on. So we don't have a game to talk about. We had Newport postponed last week as we thought it may well have been. Then Warsaw at Plough Lane in the week was also postponed. This follows on from last Thursday. The FA Youth Cup game at Plough Lane was postponed as well.
Yeah,
lots of postponements, to be fair, in the Football League across the last week. The fixture list last Saturday was decimated. We got about three games on Saturday. We had another three that managed to go ahead in the week. Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? I don't really know how much we can do about that, to be honest with you. We have a new stadium that we could barely afford to actually get constructed, so there was no chance we were going to get any fancy things like undersaw heating, but we will need it, I imagine, if we are to progress, because that pitch gets very little sunshine.
Yeah, the thing is, on the side, one, it costs to get it in, and two, it costs to run it. And how many times are you going to run? Let's be fair, we've lost, what, three games this season? We've lost Stevenage, we lost the Warsaw game, and also we lost the FA Youth Cup game, didn't we? Mm. And if we're going to use a whole lot, we lost the ladies' women's game as well, didn't we? That got called off the same weekend that Stevenage got called off.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think your biggest challenge is under Solheim, just is the cost. Is it worth it? You know, what are you going to save in terms of what revenue did we lose compared to the outlay of what under Solheim is? With the West End, the challenge you've got is the sun doesn't really get onto that strip in front of the dugout. So I think with the temperatures the way they were, you know, they were below freezing for what? So my cat is literally on my table and is now, I won't tell you what he's doing, but... gone.
We'll leave that to the imagination.
I just, why is it going on? Anyway, so I think with the temperatures, you're always going to struggle. I think I'm not going to say it was, but someone who was at the ground on Saturday, come back from Newport, said that when they got back, the pitch was still frozen. Mm. And that was 5 o'clock. So even they had a day of sun, it just didn't thaw out. So I think, you know, a lot of clubs lost it. I think the one thing I was a little bit was, when do you call the games off? Because if you know the temperature is below freezing, quite considerably below freezing overnight, and it's been like that for consistent nights, you sort of know a Saturday game isn't really going to happen. And I think, you know, Newport called our game off, what, 10-ish?
Half 10.
Which I think is about right. I think, for me, I think you have to take into consideration away fans. I think home fans can, hey, look, it gets called off an hour before a game. They've only got, majority of them have got a short journey back, haven't they?
Yeah.
But your away fans have got a hell of a journey. Peterborough was an interesting one. Darren McCartney, he's gone on Twitter on Saturday apologising. So Charlton had been told by Peterborough that the game was probably going to go ahead. They felt the pitch was fine. Referee comes in and the referee's decision is final, and it depends what referee you get. And it's not about picking about referees, but you can get one referee who go, do you know what, that's fine, it's only a little bit of ice. Kings Meadow, Chelsea, Liverpool ladies.
Yeah, we'll get on to that, yeah.
Or they go, do you know what, not going to blame it, it's not safe. And that's what happened with Peterborough. So Peter got called, I think, 90 minutes before the game. Charlton had gone. Darren McAntony's a bit embarrassed, so he's actually said he's going to pay for the travel for Charlton fans. And I think even the tickets, he's going to pay for that. Because the funny thing is, the irony is, Peterborough trained on that pitch in the afternoon.
Oh, well, yeah. So and I believe.
Do you get what I mean? So I think that's your problem. So I think out of whole of this, we need to, it just got me thinking, we need to look after fans more. It's not cheap to go and travel, you know, especially with trains at the moment. Mm. So we know quite a few people that went already, and it could have been called off at like 6 o'clock in the morning. They're still already traveling because they want to get there and get some drinks and stuff. So we have people, someone who actually went to Cardiff Millwall.
Mm.
Why would you go and get involved in someone else's battle? Like, of all the games to go, oh, tell you what, that's a nice game, isn't it? Nah, don't know why you would do that.
Nah.
So I think that's where it was. I think we had quite a few games pulled off. I think then we'd done the sensible thing midweek and called it off a day early. I think that was the right thing to do because ultimately the groundsman's going to know the pitch probably on the Monday night and go, do you know what, if it's played Monday night, that ain't going to be played. And the weather's getting no warmer through there. So I think you just have to make sensible decisions because having games called off late, I think just in this cost of living and stuff, I think it's just a little bit unfair on it, if I'm being honest with you. So yeah, that's where I was. But Peter Charlton, I know Darren McCann was really embarrassed and was like, look, the referee, if you're prepared to train on it, then the pitch is fine, isn't it? But calling off 90 minutes for a game is crazy. But then of course we did have the Arsenal, sorry, not the Chelsea Liverpool wing, so I think it was
you say there about Peter being able to train on the pitch afterwards, but actually the Chelsea and the Liverpool players warmed up on the King of the Meadow pitch, and I'm not sure if any of the players thought to or spoke to the referee and said, look, we've warmed up on that and it was no good. I know that the main problem seemed to be actually just one strip, as you said, the same problem at King's Meadow, just down the old John Smith stand, as it was originally known. So I like to call it the East Terrace. I think it's that what it was called. North, was it the West Terrace?
Yeah, it was just the terrace that backed on. It was just the terrace that backed on to the Smell Swamp area, wasn't it? Yeah. It's always Smell. The thing is, if you know King's Meadow, you know that pitch. It's open to the elements. We lost quite a few games, didn't we, on that? From a point, I couldn't stop laughing with the players trying to stand up. But there obviously was a lot of, there was obviously that game was live on BBC One, I believe. So it looked like there was probably a bit of pressure from wherever to get the game on.
Yeah.
But I agreed with the commentators and even people saying, look, you know, they're trying to get the game to be serious with the ladies. And you let that happen. It's embarrassing. And you'll get the ones who don't understand ladies football and think it's not great. Again, you laugh their heads off and go, look, they can't stand up. But it's not nice. Do you know what I mean? Like, they play at a decent level. And to play that game and to abandon it after 5 or 6 minutes. And like, what happens to the tickets in that situation?
Well, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Well, they're probably all these newfangled scan printed off yourself at home tickets so everyone could just use them again. I don't know. But what we'll say is it brought to memory many, many years ago, and I think I've said this story on the podcast before, when I went to Luton Town versus Bournemouth, and it was an evening kickoff, and at 7:43, the teams were still not out on the pitch. 7:45, the teams were still not on the pitch. And then came the word, little patch that was frozen, tiny patch, in towards one of the corners, referee said, no, had to call the game off. So, I mean, as bad, if not as embarrassing, as what happened to the Chelsea and Liverpool women on Sunday. But
yeah, do you know what? No one's a game called off. We've all been to games you're looking forward to, and the game's been called off, and you're like, wow, that's unbelievable. Like, can they just put some like traffic cones on the corner and say, look, you can't play in that area?
That would be traffic cone theft. Well, it may look like traffic cone theft.
But there are problems. There are problems, especially with grounds like Luton. There are areas where the sun just doesn't get to it, and we haven't all got the money to pay for these heaters.
Sun don't go
anywhere near Luton, does it? Let's be fair.
Yeah, no.
But it looks like, hey, look, it looks like this weekend's going to be better. It's, you know, where I live, it's always, if we're going to get any snow or anything like that, we're going to get it first, and we have no ice or anything like that. But my son's disappointed. It's funny. My son kept going every time he was going to school this week. He's going to people, snow. And I'm like, ice. He's going, daddy, snow. And I'm like, it's not snow. Anyway.
Yeah.
He was quite gutted. He was quite gutted when he went. He was like, no snow. And I'm like, there was never any snow. Anyway. Jesus. That's part of it. But game should be fine. And I'm quite looking forward to it because I'm quite missing football. Like, when's the last game we went to? Bradford, 0-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bradford, who actually played Stockport last, and they drew 0-0 again. So,
have you seen a save, by the way, the Stockport goalkeeper makes from a corner? If you want to have a laugh, right, basically the Stockport goalkeeper saves a corner from point blank range with his head. Basically, he goes, so Bradford, ball goes back stick, Bradford's defender heads it, the goalkeeper literally just standing there, Bradford player could head it anywhere, heads it, and it hits the player. It hits the goalkeeper's nut and goes over the crossbar. It's just the best save. It's the best save, but like, he doesn't. It just hits his nut.
Yeah, he didn't have a clue what's going on. I thought when you said there, save from a corner, I thought someone had taken a corner that looked like it was going to go straight in, and he somehow
No,
dived to head it away.
it's just freaky. It is just the most. It's a great save, but literally, you think from that distance, you could head it anywhere and it'd go in, wouldn't it? But to catch someone's nut and catch the angle that it goes over the crossbar, is quite surprising. But Stockport's a good point for Bradford. It makes our point look even just as good, because Stockport have invested quite heavily, so they've the transfer window they've done well, like a lot of clubs have.
Yeah, I mean, we will. Should we get Stockport out of the way now, actually? And then I just want to make one quick comment about the women as well. But Stockport, then they visit Plough Lane on Saturday for the very first time. We've not hosted Stockport in any sort of fixture since 2002. We shall come back to talk about that in a moment. They're currently 10th. They've won four of their last six in the league. They've only conceded one in that time, and that was a 1-0 defeat. Their only defeat in the sixth away at Grimsby Town. But they did lose, of course, to Warsaw in the FA Cup last round. Dave Challoner is their current manager, took over November 2021, so about 18 months in charge, got them promoted out of the National League last season. They have, as you said, Stu, invested heavily. Paddy Madden is their top scorer. We all know about him. We've spoken in the past about Anthony Sarcevic, Callum Camps, Chris Hussey, and they beat us 1-0 at Edgeley Park in September. It's a tough game. Tough game. I'll take another draw. Let's just nil-nil our way to the end of the season.
The problem you've got as well is that we've got a real tough running. In this next five, we play Leyton Orient and Carlisle. And one other puff it is, but we play like, and then ridiculously we play Hartlepool and Gillingham, both in the bottom part. But Gillingham have basically transferred in from a bottom of the league club to a title chasing spending team. So this next five games,
Yeah, we've got
tough.
Northampton as well in that mix. That was the away
That's
to
yeah,
Northampton,
that's what it
wasn't
was. Yeah, that's what it was on Valentine's Day.
it? Yeah. But like it was back in 2012, I think.
Yeah, I took my wife, my wife to be at the time, took her for a meal at TGI Fridays. And do you know what? I did say to her, I said, you fancy coming back? And do you know what she said? She didn't say, like, I don't watch football. She said, you basically left, we left TGI's early because we were going to miss kickoff, so we had no dessert.
Oh, well.
That's
And
all
do you
she
know?
remembered.
Well, you won't remember much of the game because we lost 1-0 and it was a bit rubbish, but I do remember that vividly because I was reporting for the South London Press. So I got a nice seat in the press box. And anyone, of course, who knows Northampton's stadium, if you want a good view of the pitch, you want to be down the side in the home end, high up, because you ain't going to get a very high view from anywhere else.
No, it's a nice ground. It's but yeah, do you know what? Like I say, next five is, hey, look, I say it could define our season. I think our transfer windows define our season, but hey.
Hey, I'm still, as I said to you, I said, and I keep saying it, just quite happy. Mid-table obscurity for me is fine. Don't have to worry about relegation. Let's just consolidate. We can push on again in the summer. But hey, quick scoreline prediction then. I will go one all.
No, no.
We're not
I think
predicting,
we're I think
we're never going to predict high scoring games for the remainder of the season, are we? Let's be honest.
no, 10 clean sheets, and I think that puts us like in the top three or four in League Two with clean sheets. So,
There you go.
hey, look, we don't concede, we don't score. No, no.
No. Fair enough. Elsewhere in League Two on Saturday, I just picked out Hartlepool versus Colchester. I expect both of those teams to stay up. Stu, I have made a forthright prediction. The two teams to be relegated from League Two this season will come from Crawley, Rochdale, and Newport. I think Colchester, Gillingham, Hartlepool will all be fine. And Harrogate.
Yeah, I think it's spot on. I think it's spot on. I think Newport, from what we see, Newport have brought no new signings in, have lost five players. So it looks like there might be a bit of a financial situation there. Crawley, hey, look, Crawley's hilarious. And Rochdale, yeah, unless in Henderson can roll back the years and, I don't know, play more games. I probably would go Rochdale, Crawley, if you're going to ask me.
Fair enough. Elsewhere as well, it is FA Cup fourth round day. There are three League Two teams that have made it to the fourth round. And of course, we always wish the underdogs well. Except on this occasion, I hope Stevenage gets spanked and Grimsby are away at Luton, so you can guess who I want to win there. But Warsaw, good luck against Leicester. We hope you pull off an upset there.
Is that what they've got? Because Leicester beat Gillingham in the last round, didn't they?
They did.
That's some time draws. They've had some Chelsea draws, haven't they? Some of those hot balls.
Well, you say that, but Chelsea always... I mean, they didn't this season, thankfully. First time forever. But Chelsea normally get at home in the third round to a non-league or a League Two team. Whereas at least Leicester have been away from home on both occasions. So
true. Stevenage is interesting because if Stevenage go through, then that means our rearranged game is then going to be rearranged again.
Yeah, we're never going to play them.
We'll end up playing them when they need to. As I think Stevenage are going to win the league the way they go. I'll be truthful. I think later on they'll drop out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? We're going to end up with Steve Evans coming to Power Lane to have to win the league. Oh, that'd be a shame.
A few years ago with Stevenage, our first season in the conference, they came down and beat us 3-0. Was that Steve Evans?
Yeah, when we realised that every team was Steve Evans.
No, what am I talking about? No, it wouldn't have been a Steve Evans team. It was Stevenage, not Steve Evans.
Right.
Yeah,
that was when Darius Charles turned up and he was like wing back and he was 6'5" or something stupid.
Oh, they all were.
And I think we realised then what League Two or non-league conference was about, big, ugly players. We never learned.
Got to remember who their manager was, actually. It's going to bug me. I'll look it up.
Graham
Wesley, that's it. I was thinking, who was that manager that hated playing football, who liked managing the game, but a very smart degree and successful degree.
He was the first person who did tactical timeouts, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it's weird, right? Like, we're going to do Jackson 5 and I'm pointing at rubbish, but I can remember who Stevens' manager was. That's just random, isn't
it? Sam, actually, do you want to move on to Jackson 5? Or do you want to do
let's get out of the way, because I was rubbish last time.
Let's do Jackson 5. So we're playing Stockport this Saturday. We played them four times in two seasons when we were in Division 1 this millennium, so 2000, 2001 and 2001-2002. We beat them 2-0 at Selhurst Park. We drew 2-2 at Edgeley Park. The following season, we won 2-1 at Edgeley Park, and then we beat them 3-1 at Selhurst Park on their way to being relegated. We scored 9 goals in that time. One of them was an own goal. The other 8 goals were shared between 5 Wimbledon players. Do you want to have a guess at who those 5 Wimbledon players were?
I hate these ones. Marcus Gale?
No.
Damn. Marcus Gale was a one I knew played because I remember someone having a row with him at Ashley Park. Damn. Neil Shipley?
No. That's two. Give him.
David Connolly?
There you go. One. Yep. He actually scored 3 goals against them.
Kevin Cooper?
He did. Yeah.
Crikey. Don't know about players. Neil Wardley?
He did. Yeah.
Oh, this is better.
He scored a penalty as well at one of them. So there you go. And one more guess to get 4 out of 6. Or 4 out of 5, sorry. But 6 guesses.
Carl Court. He'd probably be gone by then, wouldn't he?
He'd long gone by then. He'd done Luke McCormick, I think, well, after he got relegated.
Well, right. When Bobby Robson decided to spend £7 million quid on him.
On Jason Yule. The other ones you missed then. So you got Kevin Cooper, David Connolly, he scored 3. Neil Ardley got 2 across the games. The other two were Damian Francis.
Oh, crikey, yeah.
And Patrick Agyemang.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Forget about Patrick Agyemang.
Yeah. Talented player. Had a good career.
It was when you think about the skill he had along with Andy Clark, that no one knew what the hell they didn't know what they were going to do half the time, did they?
No.
So how the hell you mark them? We had some really technically good players back then.
Mm. Alas, other things came into play over course those two seasons, but never mind. I mean, we could do on that side of it, but I think it would be a bit out of place on this particular episode, so I don't think we should do that, Stu. The last point I just wanted to make about the women's game, because obviously the women are in FA Cup action this weekend as well. At Carl Shilton, they host Charlton Athletic. And lots of talk, Stu, one of my big bugbears at the moment is footballers' salaries, and there's talks about equality between the men's and women's game. And I think recently the Welsh national team said they'll
get
slightly different with national teams, of course, but they said they will pay their men and women the same. I think it's Lewis, is it, that have... similarly in non-league that pay their men and women the same.
I believe so, and I think it happened internationally. I think Canada did it as well. Okay. I think there were some. I think there were ones that led it with. I know
Canada will do that. Yeah, but I mean, I just think about it. Not well. Should women? Should well? We only. I don't. We're pretty much amateur, or are women? It's pretty much yeah. CCL expenses type players. Obviously, more money in the women's Super League. And I think, you know, I think there should be an adjustment in salaries at the moment in time. Obviously, the men's game brings in more money than the women's game, so men will continue to get paid more, but they certainly get paid way too much. So their salaries should be reduced, as opposed to women's salaries coming up to match the exorbitant fees that footballers get. But anyway, if we really want equality between the men's and women's game, do you know what we're going to have to do? And this is why, and do you know what, Stu? This is never going to happen. This is never going to happen because I genuinely don't think people will like it happening. But this is God's honest truth. This is what needs to happen. AFC Wimbledon, the men's team, should only ever be referred to as AFC Wimbledon men. And that goes across every single football club. And that's equality. Why is it that the women are the other team that have to have the suffix of women on the end when it's the same club? And the only way you can solve that, you can't take the tags off because they are two different sexes. So you have to add men to the male teams. Do I think that's ever going to happen? No chance. No fucking chance. But it's true.
No, I agree with you. And I watched the Wimbledon Doom game and I really enjoyed it. Competitive, really good game to watch. And they play really hard. They're level four. It's level four they play at the moment. Mm. The Women's Super League, Tottenham paid $250,000 for someone. The money is starting to really, you know, transfer fees and stuff like that. Hey, look, it'd be great if we could make them semi-professional and stuff like that, because at the moment they're amateur, from my understanding. But to refer as Wimbledon, I'm happy to do that now. Will it catch on? No.
There's no chance. And we're running out of time, but I was just going to say, it would also involve having to rename the league to the Men's Premier League. And the men's championship.
They go after with all your sponsorship and logos and stuff like that.
Exactly. So, I mean, we talk about equality, but I'm not sure sometimes. I think sometimes there are some things that people won't stretch themselves to, and that's an interesting insight into things. But anyway, that's food for thought for everyone. As we probably bring this week's show to an end. Thank you very much for joining us. Updates from the game with Stockport will be on Twitter at 9YRS Podcast. 9 Years Live TV will bring you the build-up and reaction to the game on the club's official YouTube and Facebook. Stu, you are doing stadium tours this weekend.
Yeah. Friday is when you're listening to this, and then Saturday morning. Can't wait. If you're on a tour, good luck. It's my first one. I'm probably going to talk loads of rubbish. But rubbish about Wimbledon, and I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Happy days. And if you would like to book a tour of the stadium, if you've not done already, go to afcwimbledon.co.uk, go to the shop, and you can book it online. Nice and
simple. Yeah. And very, very quickly, I'm doing one for the Wimbledon versus Leeds FA Youth Cup game on Wednesday, the 1st of February, 3:45, match day tour. If you come to the game, try and get there early. It's a great tour, match day.
And if you're a striking teacher, no excuse not to go on Wednesday.
I forgot about that.
Anyway,
yeah, you come along. Leave it alone.
Not my union, just saying. Right. Anyway, thank you, Stu.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. That is it. Alexa Bliss, bag first, milk last, 2 + 2 = 4, and we shall speak to you again next week.